Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This is Lisa, your host from New Jersey. We're airing live from Artist First, and we have a great show for you tonight. We're going to have guests Katie Halchesik and Meg Zucker. So grab your martini, slip into something really comfortable, put in your best high heels, and stay along and chat with us for the next hour. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Lisa. Oh, it's going to be a great night of beauty and positive energy.
I know, but we have some sad news to report.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of our honored guests.
Yeah.
Charlotte Krupp passed away, and we are honoring her tonight. She was delightful to talk with, wasn't she, Lisa?
Oh, she was. She was so good. She was such a nice lady. She wrote the book, How Not to Look Fat and How Not to Look Old. She was on our show maybe 9 months ago. I had no idea she was sick.
I know. No one knew, not even Ann Curry on the Today Show.
Oh, really? She said that?
Yeah. She just was so determined to get the second book out, you know, How Not to Look Old Again.
Yeah.
And she died at age 58 of breast cancer.
Mm.
So we are sharing prayers with her husband, Richard, and her mother, Esther, tonight.
That's really sad.
Yep. So there is a memorial. She graduated from the University of Illinois, and there's a memorial in her name there, Charlotte Krupp. So our prayers with her family.
Absolutely. Now on a happy note, let's get to our cool guests tonight. Our first guest, her name is Katie Halchesik. Did I pronounce that right? Halchesik. She's a former model on a mission to transform how girls think and feel about their bodies. She's the co-founder of Healthy is the New Skinny, I love that name, campaign, and it has appeared in O Magazine. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Tell us
you did get my name right, by the way.
What was that?
I said you did get my name right, by the way. Great job.
I got it. Tell us about your modeling days.
Well, you know, I had a different experience than a lot of girls. I never went into the industry on the high fashion side, so I went in as a plus-size model. I was 17, and I was playing sports at the time, and so I'm not a small-frame person. My dad's, like, 6'4". My brother's a football player. Like, we are not a petite family by any means. So I have the height, but I don't have a very small frame. And so when I went into modeling, they were like, hey, you'd be great for plus size. And, you know, as a teenager, when you hear that, when you're not even plus size, you're just a normal size, it's kind of like you're not really sure if it's an insult or to be excited or what that really even means. And so that's how I actually started, was on the plus size side of things. So it was a little bit different than the really, really young, like 13-year-old, super, super small, high fashion girls. Mine was more commercial and things like that. So that's how I got started. And then I went to New York, and I got a little bit of resistance because I wasn't quite big enough. And so I was also a freshman in college at the time and gained the freshman 20, like we all do. And that is when I got up to my biggest, my heaviest weight, which was 200 pounds and a size 14. And then that was when I actually started working the most, was after I had gained a lot of weight. So that was a challenge for me because I didn't necessarily feel good, or I didn't feel like I looked my best, or I wasn't my healthiest, but yeah, I was getting rewarded for that. So it was kind of a difficult transition because on one side you're like, yeah, I love making money. And then on the other side you're like, ugh, but I don't feel very good. So I decided to get healthy, and I ended up losing 50 pounds, and now I'm just like a normal, healthy weight for my height. I range between 150 and 160, depending on how much I'm working out. And like, I just decided to choose my health over what size the industry wanted me to be.
So what size were you when you were a plus-size model? What size is that?
I was a 14. I started at like a size 10, and then I got up to a 14, and that's when I was really working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then at my smallest, I got down to a size 6, and I lost like all my clients, but I was still too big for traditional straight size. I would have still needed to lose about 20 pounds, and for me, I was starting to look really scary. Like, it wasn't looking good on my face or my body, but I was like 20 pounds away from where I would need to be in order to do that kind of modeling. So that wasn't an option for me because I knew I would have to do something really unhealthy in order to achieve that. So that's when I kind of decided that I would just let my body go where it naturally wants to be, and that's left me where I'm at right now. It's just a size 8, which is right in the middle.
Oh, that's a good size. That's a perfect size.
Yeah, 5'10". I mean, that's what is so interesting when we talk about sizes, and I think women forget these girls are so tall. Like, you know, you go, oh, size 8 is like a normal size, and a normal height for most women is, you know, 5'4", 5'5", like right in that range. And we're talking about girls that are like 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet tall who are expected to be a 0 or 2. Mm-hmm. So that's where it gets really, really difficult for a lot of girls.
Are you still in touch with some of the plus-size models you made friends with?
Oh, yeah. No, like, it's like a family. I think we're the only ones that really understand it. And it's one of those things where we kind of have to laugh at the situation because it's just, it's so ridiculous at some point that you have to all just laugh about it and go, okay, you know what? You can... If we have to wear padding, sometimes we have to wear padding to look bigger. Or, you know, sometimes we go in and they're like, oh, you're too big or you're too small or you're this or you're that. Like, you're never just quite right no matter what you do in modeling. And so, you know, you meet a lot of girls that, especially on the plus size end of it, that have struggled a long time with trying to do straight size. I know that's like a glamorized story a lot of like, oh, this one model used to have an eating disorder. It's a lot of models, and there are so many girls that are crossing over from the straight size world into the plus size world because they don't have to do that to their bodies in order to make money anymore. Now, it's still not the same caliber of modeling. They still don't view it the same way, but you can make a really great living. So girls are starting to go, oh, wow, maybe there's other options for me. So you definitely bond with girls that have been through the same things that you've been through and kind of are saying, like, I don't have to do that to myself anymore. I can still work as a model and make good money without, you know, hurting myself physically and mentally. So you come across some really cool people, and I think that the girls that we have at our agency are just so awesome and fun, and everybody's just, you know, much, much happier because you get to eat. That helps with your blood sugar to be in a better mood, and you get to just be yourself, so it's definitely a lot more fun.
Well, I'm looking at your blog right now, Healthy is the New Skinny, HNS.
Yes.
I love that name, and Lisa mentioned that also. How did you come up with that name?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was sitting there, and this is something I've been passionate about for a really long time, because I always felt bad about myself in high school when I was younger because I was always taller than everybody, and I had two cousins that were like child models, and they're both like 5 feet tall as adults, so I literally towered over them my whole life, and I would look like this humongous kid in the background, but we were all the same age. So I had a lot of issues with that of just being like, oh, I wish I was smaller. I wish that, you know, like as a girl, you want to be small. And then when you go into the fashion industry, it's no different where you're constantly compared to that, or, you know, when you're a plus-size model, they don't even really take you that seriously. They're like, oh, it's a plus-size model. Like, you definitely don't get the same production or, you know, clothing styles and things like that. So I would sit there and be like, you know, I come from Wyoming. I come from the Midwest. I think there's just a huge disconnect between what real people in the public find attractive or what they would maybe relate to or aspire to be, and what this small group of decision makers in the fashion industry think people want to be or see. So I just would sit there and go, wow, I just don't understand why they want this extreme look. Like, it's so, it's like startling when you see it. These girls are sickly looking, and you go, why would they want to promote a message like that? And I just would go through that in my head, and I'm like, they shouldn't want to promote that. Like, they should want to promote something healthy. Like, it should be healthy models, not skinny models. And that's how I kind of just was like, yeah, healthy is the new skinny, and making that more popular. And, like, I do like to talk more of a mindset with that, because with people saying, oh, well, what's wrong with being skinny? And that's 100%. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being skinny. When we say that, we're talking about the fashion industry standards, which are that meet the medical standards for anorexia. Like, that's not skinny. That's, like, beyond unhealthy. And so to be naturally thin, if you're healthy and that's healthy for you, that's beautiful. And if you're naturally a little bit curvier and you're healthy, that's great for you too. And we just don't want one to be valued over the other on either side. You know, big isn't better than small. Small isn't better than big. It's all women deserve to see something that they can relate to and aspire to be, that's going to make their lives better and help them to be healthier and happier. And that's where we really wanted to bring women together with this movement, because this is something we can all have success in. And I think if you've ever struggled with low self-esteem or body image and this pursuit of, like, trying to be quote-unquote skinny, it's never quite good enough. And you're always going to be striving for more and more and more. And that's when I think we get into eating disorders and we get this really destructive mentality mentally. So that's where we come from with that. When we say healthy is the new skinny, it's like, if we tell a high school girl right now, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful and so healthy, immediately she thinks you just called her fat. And that's where we go, whoa. But if we said, oh my gosh, you're so healthy, you look so skinny, all of a sudden she's like, yeah, okay, great. Like, that's like such a compliment. So that's where we're going. We need to start challenging this to say, why would you want that over your health? And really tying in the stories from women who have lost their health and where that takes you, because it's a really dark place all the way around. We have women that speak that have battled with cancer and with other things where their health was taken from them, and how that changed their whole perspective on themselves and their bodies and their views. And just kind of trying to give girls a really strong message to say, whoa, this has gone too far, and we've all been, you know, brainwashed of sorts to think this is the only thing that's going to make us happy, when really that's the only thing that's bringing a lot of unhappiness to our lives.
Well, that's wonderful to hear you say. Now, did you say that you have an agency?
Yeah. So in the midst of all of this, I realized in the fashion industry, there's really nowhere for girls to go if you're not a straight size model, which is like a 0 to maybe a 4. Anything over that, like a 6 to a 10, there's really not a lot of work. So if you're a size 12 to 16, you can work pretty good, decent as a plus size model. But if you're smaller than a 12 and bigger than a 4, it's really, really tough. And that was always interesting to me, because I was like, oh, well, I feel like that's like a really great healthy size range, but you're not valued at all. So in order to really campaign this message and to really push for it, I feel like you need to have that happy medium and not such extreme to where it's not plus size or super, super small. Why don't we give girls something else to look at that they haven't seen before, which is a normal healthy size that's like not extreme on either side, but it's equally as glamorous and beautiful. So that's why we created Natural Model Management in LA, and we rep beautiful models that don't want to have to choose to sacrifice their health to be in this industry. So that's what we're doing with that. And the great part about it is all the girls have these stories. They've all struggled. They've all been through it. And they're at that point where they realize that they can share their experience with other girls and women to help them realize how important this movement is. Because I think so many young girls just aspire to be models because we've glamorized it so much in the media. And really, it's such a horrible, like, industry, and it's really dangerous, especially if you're putting 13 and 14 and 15-year-old girls in this adult industry. It's not something that is as glamorous as it appears, and it does have a price. And so for girls to know that and to say, hey, like, you deserve more, and we are going to do our part to represent a variety of beauty in the industry to help put that message out there, that's all that we can do. We have no control over what clients will use our models right now because there's no market for us. But that's really why we created Healthy is the New Skinny and the PUP program, which is our nonprofit school program, to spread that message through the girls that are being affected by it. So, you know, we build enough following with that route, then the industry will come to us. And that seems to be what's happening right now. So that's been really, really good.
Tell us about your picture that you have on your website with the surgery that you would need to look like Barbie.
Yeah, that was so fun. Like, that was for O Magazine. And, you know, it's so funny because that is totally representative of what pressure is on women. Because you look at that and you go, oh my gosh, this is so ridiculous. Like, it's physically impossible. But yet when they were even drawing those lines on me at the shoot, which was always interesting to stand there topless and have someone draw black lines all over you, I remember looking in the mirror being like, wow, really? You're going to draw those boobs on that high, really, huh? And then you can't help but to go, well, are mine too low? Like, you start to question yourself. Even when I was doing an experiment that they're purposely showing you what is not realistic, I think that's the problem. If we only have those types of images to look at all the time, then we can't help ourselves but to question why we don't look that way. And you can't expect a young girl to look at those images and go, oh, you know what, that's totally Photoshopped. That girl doesn't look like that. They don't know those things, you know? And so that's just what we're trying to do is go, hey, this, as much as we can, putting images out there that really show that is so extreme and really unrealistic. And I read comments about that picture, which was interesting, and I'm totally secure where I'm at right now, so it really doesn't affect me like it would have before when I was, like, in a really fragile state. But I would read comments, and, you know, there are people that would be like, oh, well, she's chubby, or she's big, or, you know, she needs to lose weight, or, you know, you get all different kinds of opinions, and then people would debate over that. So, you know, I think that's always going to happen. Some people look at our blog, like you were just saying, at the beautiful girls that we have up there and say, oh, you only use skinny models. And we're like, whoa. And then people will be like, oh, well, these girls are fat. Like, it's always this constant judgment on each other. And I think that's what's really the root of the problem. I think the media does bring it to our attention, and it causes a lot of I think it just causes a lot of tension between women because none of us feel like we're good enough, so it's a lot easier for us to criticize each other because we feel a little bit better about ourselves. And I think that's really destructive. As girls, especially young girls, if we can get them to understand that they're so different and different builds and different body types and different ethnicities and personalities, everything is so individual, but yet this is something they all have in common, is this feeling of not being good enough. And if they can recognize and have a little bit of compassion for each other as women, and to say, wow, like, this is sad that we all feel this way. This is sad that the number one wish of teenage girls is to be thinner. And if we can have compassion for each other to go, wow, like, what if we can change this as a team? So it's not big versus small. It's just your friends that you love, and it's your family members that you love. And if you can help them to feel good about who they are, everyone deserves to feel that. It doesn't matter what size you are. And so I think that's really what we're trying to do, is get girls to join and have an alliance to say, let's stop tearing each other down to make ourselves feel better because we are all in pain. Because I think there's a level of pain that every woman feels. Even my grandmother, who's 83 years old, will still say comments of like, oh, I can't wear that. That's not my color. And I'm like, Grandma, you're 83. Nobody cares. Like, nobody's looking at you saying like, oh, she'd be hot if she lost 10 pounds. Like, it's okay. Like, wear whatever you want. So I still think there's a level of this pressure that it just sticks with us in our heads for a really long time. And I really think that we can change that for the next generation, if we stand up and start to voice our opinions and no longer buy products from companies that are not going to have healthier advertising. And I think that's where we'd like to see it go.
Well, that's very exciting, and we just applaud you for everything that you're doing. And the models on your site are beautiful, and you are beautiful. And we would love to have you join us again to talk about more of your modeling and ideas.
I would love it. And we're getting ready to launch our PUP tour in Washington State, February 6th through the 10th. And we are sponsored by Safeway, Pop Chips, Pirate's Booty, and the local Riverside Health Club. So I will send you guys an update send you some of the feedback from the students, and you guys can hear a little bit more about the actual program.
Well, that's exciting. And all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners here on Artists First will be able to find information on you. We have you and a link listed on our website.
Yay!
We've been tweeting about you as well, and thank you very much, Katie, for joining us. You're beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, guys, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, Katie.
Bye.
Well, we're thanking our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We're going to take a quick commercial. We'll be joined by Meg Zucker, who will inspire us all.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark on the Artists First World Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, we have to be honest. We fell in love with Meg Zucker watching her on today's show as she spoke with Dr. Jennifer Hartstein. We love Meg's blog, Don't Hide It, Flaunt It. She's a contributor to Parents Magazine, an attorney, a mom, and we're very proud to have you on our show. Welcome, Meg Zucker.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here tonight.
Hi, Meg. We love your positive attitude. And, we've read every word of your blog.
Oh, is that right?
Well, you know, thank you.
It's funny about
thank
that blog. I was working on my website, and the person that helped me set it up actually said to me, do you think you want to blog or not? I mean, that's how it came up. And so it was literally one of those. I was working with Scholastic doing some things as well this past summer. And it was just sort of an ad hoc moment where I decided to have a blog. And then it just sort of evolved into what you've read.
Well, it's fun and entertaining and positive, just everything we need to read. So how did you come up with Don't Hide It, Flaunt It?
Well, my husband John will kill me if I try to take the credit. I was speaking for to an organization, an event called Baby Bites, and it's for young mothers in Manhattan, and actually mothers of young children, and many of the mothers, of course, are very young. But the experience speaking to them, they had kind of wanted me to come up with some type of slogan. And so at that point, it was, I guess, going back almost a couple of years, that's when we came up with it. And we really just wanted something punchy, something that really embraced the message that I'm trying to get out there, which is, you know, whatever you look like, you know, just embrace it. You know, I walk this earth with two fingers, and I can't tell you the number of times people tell me they're not showing up at a reunion because they've gained some weight, you know, and they're so concerned about being judged. And so don't hide it, flaunt it. Hopefully, you know, carries the message and of, you know, what I'm trying to do.
And you are beautiful. We love that you were thinking, all right, what should I wear? When should I introduce this to people? What are they going to notice? Tell us about that.
You mean on the Today Show, or when do you mean? I'm sorry.
Like on your blog, when your husband asked, well, you know, what you were both talking about, what should you wear, and are people ready to see my toes?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're talking about one of the more recent entries that,
yeah.
That I, oh, yeah, that was interesting. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to get across was, even though it's such a great message, don't hide it, flaunt it, at the end of the day, I wanted to do a couple of things. The first thing is recognize that it's not easy, and it's not easy for me. So as much as I've embraced myself and, you know, getting up and, you know, in front of about 7 million people on the Today Show would be seemingly hard, it wasn't. What was hard for me that week was actually deciding to just, you know, show a picture that had my feet in it. And so a lot of people have differences. Some of them are hidden. And as I was saying in that blog post, that, you know, my feet happen to be my hidden difference. And so I used the opportunity of that week's blog to demonstrate how, you know, you can kind of start to climb the mountain and embrace yourself or whatever it is about you. But it's not that easy, and it's a road. It's not something that's just a walk across the street.
Exactly, and I wish that we would all just embrace each other and enjoy each other. So I love that you've written all of this. Now, could
you
please pronounce the genetic?
Oh, sure. It's called ectrodactyly, and it literally means missing digits. And I was thinking earlier today, when I was thinking I was going to be speaking to you ladies, that believe it or not, I didn't even know I had a condition when I was growing up.
I believe it.
I had no idea. I mean, my brothers, my parents, none of my relatives, no one was born like this. And so I really thought it was a fluke. Maybe my mom had a bad meal or something. I had no idea. And it wasn't until I was applying to law school that I had to fill out the law school application and, in fact, get some kind of medical exam. And that's when my doctor told me there was actually a term for it. So it wasn't until I was, I guess, 20 years old that I heard that it was actually a condition. And, in fact, until John and I decided we were already married and we decided we wanted to have kids, only then did I realize with him it was genetic. And it's something he always assumed, but I didn't. But it is called ectrodactyly.
And that is a sweet, sweet story, and I love that.
Thanks.
And it's genetic, and you have wonderful children. Do you have boys and girls?
Yes. We have two boys, Ethan, who's 9 and a half, and Charlie, who's going to be 7 in a couple months, and then Savannah, who is 5 and a half, and our boys were born similar to me, I mean, with my condition. Savannah, we actually adopted her from Southern California at birth. I was holding the birth mother's hand. And and it was a really, you know, on so many levels, one of the other reasons I thought to, you know, write my book, write my blog, do all of this is that, again, difference comes in various shapes and sizes. And, you know, Savannah's difference is that she's adopted. She has blonde hair, and we all have darker hair. And so it's been a really interesting experience thinking in terms of our own family dynamic. And, in fact, speaking of my blog, at one point I just wrote something called It's in the Genes, because I think people felt awkward about that difference. You know, did she know? Does she not know? Do we want, you know, people to know? And finally, I was like, well, okay, I this is part of her and part of our family, and we're proud of every difference we have, so decided to blog about it.
I love that. So I didn't realize that you had a book. What is your book called? We'd like to promote it.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know what? We're on our way to doing the pitch pretty soon. I mean, it was going to be called "What You Think of Me Is None of My Business." But I still like the title. But we still might stick with the sort of "Don't Hide It, Flaunt It." I signed with Lisa Leshny of the Leshny Agency a couple years ago. And so it's a self-help book, and it's really focused on, you know, not just parenting, but as well as dating, you know, areas where people are feeling very judged, very uncomfortable, or trying to control or over-control or overprotect their environment, and then ultimately they become miserable. So using my life, that's what it's about. So believe me, I appreciate it, and it's one of the things, you know, the Today Show and the article in Parents and a lot of other things that I'm doing are a part of, you know, my mission to get this word out and then, you know, and go out to the publishers and publish my book.
I love that idea.
Thank you.
Growing up in my wonderfully fun family, mm-hmm. We did volunteer work all my whole life, you know, helping families with different situations. And I thought something was wrong with me. Because I thought that we were all alike, and why didn't I have a brace, or why can't I have this or that? And, you know, I just love that I grew up that way and see everyone for their heart, and I love that.
Well, you were really fortunate to have that type of exposure. I mean, most people don't. And believe it or not, many years that I grew up, I didn't grow up in the United States. I grew up in the Middle East. And in fact, some of the things that my parents did, believe it or not, was have me and my two brothers, we would go to leper colonies and help out there. And there, as you can imagine, talk about full frontal difference. But, you know, my experience, I guess similar to yours, was getting exposed to difference just by the very nature of not even living in the, you know, country where I was born. On the other hand, I think in certain countries where I grew up, I was just seen as someone who was, I guess, of lesser value to society. So as a result, it was hard, and I would have I would be with my family, and there would be homeless people on the street, and they would sort of, you know, feel sorry for me. So it was a really interesting childhood, and it probably helped produce my sense of humor, because what else are you going to do? Just, you know, it was eye-opening.
You know, speaking of sense of humor, when I raised my children the same way that I was raised, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget, they were probably 2 and 4. We were at the store, and I, because I was taller, of course, could see a man coming with one leg and crutches. So I wanted to share with them, just smile and say hello. Don't say what happened to your leg. It was our first situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't hear me. They said, smiling, hello, mister, what happened to your leg?
Awesome. That's awesome.
And it was darling, because then the man had a chance to talk, and they felt comfortable talking to him. Before you knew it, the man found a chair. They're both on his lap. Hearing all of
his
stories, and I loved that.
That's wonderful. I mean, as you know, when I was talking to Natalie Morales on the Today Show, I mean, she and I were talking. She has two boys, so we were even talking about that subject off air, and then just on the air, just the idea of engaging, you know, engaging somebody is so important, and I think it's counterintuitive. I mean, even for me, you know, one of the things that I'll tell you, I think in the Parents article or in one of my articles, I talked about how Charlie said, oh, Mom, look, you know, look at that woman, you know, she looks so fat. Oh, it's actually on the NBC site. And I had to change it because it was really, Charlie said, oh, Mom, look at that woman, she has big boobies. I mean, it was something like that. And I, of course, shuddered. I'm like, oh. And so So she, you know, she looked at me and I looked at her, and, you know, those kind of exchanges, they're unexpected. You don't know what's going to come out of your kid's mouth, and trying to control just produces so much fear, and fear in my own children as well as, you know, others. And I think a lot of times what I think has given me special insight, one of the reasons that I've really decided to come out and do all of this is, you know, look, I was, as I said, I grew up not even believing that I had a condition. I thought it was a one-off, and really hoping, praying that I would not have children that were born like me. I didn't want to, for them, even though I had had a happy and good life, ultimately, I really just didn't want them to blame me. And you know, for what I had given to them. So clearly, I was a long way from a don't hide it, flaunt it concept. However, and I would do everything. I would go to psychics. I would do anything for someone to tell me I was going to have two, you know, kids with 10 fingers and 10 toes. And at the end of the day, the biggest gift, the best thing I could have ever received, and it's beyond John and John, you know, loving me unconditionally and our getting married. I didn't really accept myself until I had Ethan and then later Charlie. And really, you know, when you give birth to your difference, it turns into a different dynamic, a different ballgame, and allowed me to. You have to ultimately accept yourself when, you know, your child has the very thing that you were thinking was a negative, ultimately. And then it changed, and everything changed. And you may have, you know, I was thinking about my blog, you know, what are the entries in my blog that I love in particular. And one of them is called Blessing in Disguise. I wrote it around Halloween. But it's an entry that talks about the fact that it's turned into, for both me and my children, it's having a difference as we do. It's the biggest gift. I mean, no, as I said in my blog, no one. Imagine living in a world where, you know, all the jerks, all, you know, no one wants to know you unless you are just the most authentic, they are the most authentic, wonderful people, and those are the people that I attract. And they're my friends. They're the people I've dated, and ultimately the person I marry. I mean, it's the biggest gift ever to have. So it is a blessing, and of course, another favorite blog. If people want to click, and I really appreciate you promoting my blog. But my top 10, you know, John and I went to see David Letterman, and I think at one moment I realized I have to continue writing some things that are more serious and some things that are just going to make people smile, because I've noticed that the more I can make people smile and feel comfortable, then they continue to feel comfortable with not only my difference, but just I think it opens up their minds and their hearts. So I did a top, sort of a Letterman-ish top 10, you know, top 10 reasons it's amazing to have two fingers. And that was a lot of fun. I have to come up with something. My husband John doesn't think I can top myself on that one, but I'm going to try.
Tell us about the rings and your fashion sense. You like fashion.
Oh, where do I start? Well, first of all, an ex-boyfriend's first cousin is Rebecca Taylor, so that's the only reason I regret breaking up with that guy. That's a great question, because quite frankly, in some ways, it has its roots in something maybe not so good. I think along the way, a lot of the reasons I loved beautiful clothing and beautiful makeup and so forth, beautiful, you know, boots or anything, is because I thought the more I could appear beautiful and perfect, the more I could distract others from noticing my imperfection. So actually, it's truly rooted in something, not necessarily that I'm proud of, but now that I've fully embraced, you know, who I am, what I am, then, you know, being well-versed in fashion kind of is awesome. It's the perfect combination.
So
I hope that makes sense.
Describe those gorgeous rings we saw.
Oh, gosh, did you see them? Was I wearing it on TV? I can't remember.
Or on your blog.
Oh, on my blog. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I remember dating my college boyfriend. I remember he asked me, "Do you think one day you'll wear a ring?" And I didn't know. And then when, you know, by the time I was dating John and he proposed, it was sort of a, "Of course I will," and I was just hoping it wouldn't fall off my finger and I would lose it. So, you know, we worked it out, and in fact, after our 10-year anniversary, he got me an upgrade. So that's the upgrade that you saw on my blog.
Well, I love it in your blog, especially how you set such a good example for your children, and how I can picture them fun like you. Are they talkative also?
Well, first of all, they're very jealous because they're like, "Wait a minute, Mom, I don't understand. If I was on the Today Show and I got to do Scholastic, how come I can't be on this radio show with you?" So they actually, including Savannah, all three of them went to bed saying, "It isn't fair, Mommy." But, you know, I think that they have what the boys in particular have what I didn't have, and that is any type of role model. So they really can see, you know, measuring. I'm a professional lawyer and so forth. So they've seen the things that I've done both professionally and personally, and I think that takes all the anxiety out of them that I clearly had. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to be able to tie my shoes. So think of the things that they just sort of take for granted. One thing tonight, though, interestingly, Ethan looked up my website and started reading my blog, and I braced myself. I thought, "Oh goodness, he's almost 10. Is he ready for this?" But then I thought, you know what? It's okay. It is fine. It's something he focused on. There was a blog entry that discussed, it was a little focused on bullying and a bullying experience, and he hasn't had a lot of them, but it's something he did experience in first grade, and it's called Man in the Mirror. And he read it, and he said to me, he said, "I am so glad Mommy put that out there so that other kids, you know, can, and, you know, and parents can read what we did to make me feel better." So, you know, look, I think that along the way, it's just been fantastic, and I'm very, 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 very proud of all three of those children, all of them.
You spoke at Loyola. Would you tell us about that?
Well, that was fun. So I spoke. It was a women's leadership conference. Susan Scher was speaking as well. She was Michelle Obama's chief of staff. She had just stepped down.
Oh, wow.
And it was a really phenomenal event. In fact, they just, funny you mentioned them, they just contacted me tonight asking me if they could link to my Today Show clip. They are a group of incredible faculty members, but in particular, some of the dean of the graduate school is this wonderful woman that really is into female empowerment. And so what she wanted to do was have strong women leaders come and speak to their graduate students and other people in Chicago. So it was really a discussion of, in some ways it was professional. I'm certainly talking, I hadn't even, you know, believe it or not, that was when I was just putting my site together. So, you know, I've been working on this book along the way for a while, but the blog wasn't even up. So the conversation was much more in terms of maintaining, you know, your integrity in the workplace as a woman, and how do you climb the ladder, you know, despite any type of experience you might feel like you're looked at or not taken seriously. So that was sort of along the way. But Susan Scher was wonderful, and she had just stepped down for being Michelle Obama's chief of staff at the time. Come to think of it, she did her own top 10. I got it from her.
What type of law do you practice?
I am, and I can't talk too much about my company, just so you know, but just more on a generic level, I am the global anti-money laundering officer, anti-terrorism officer at a company. So by day, I guess I make certain that criminals and terrorists are not infiltrating our financial system, and then, you know, sort of by night and weekends and otherwise, I'm really obviously focused on this subject.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Can I ask you, just curious, you all have been contacting me, I'm so curious, what intrigued you in particular about this subject? Was it something personal to your lives? I'm so grateful and happy, but I'd love to hear that from you.
Well, number one, your positive attitude. We fell in love with you.
Oh.
And yes, as I spoke personally about my family involvement, and so that's where my heart lies, and that's how I grew up, and I have never changed.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's interesting because when I think about what you're talking about, one of the experiences that I had growing up is I actually used to work in high school at a senior citizen's home, and I just worked in the cafe. But it, based on that experience, it gave me special insight into that world. And ultimately, when I was writing, in fact, what you don't know is I started out writing a memoir. So I have a 240-page memoir that's not going to go anywhere.
Even
for my grandchildren. No, I'd rather it stay where it is, because I think that ultimately, you know, the self-help type of book is what I really want to put out there. However, I will tell you that in one of the chapters, that's where I started realizing that difference had, it was so dynamic. It, you know, the way people are judging people and how it's diminishing other people's egos. And then in the world of the elderly, I mean, it's a perfect example where, you know, someone's body may be not what it was, but maybe their mind is sharp as heck, yet they're, you know, they're experiencing life where people are speaking to them as if they're, you know, not intelligent anymore, or and so forth. And so that's an entire community of people that are judged based on their physical difference now. So, you know, to give you an example of the types of things that led me to realize that I really wanted to just kind of get my message out there and empower people to feel better about themselves.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm a school teacher, and I
wonderful.
Tutored. I used to tutor a student who was blind.
Mm.
Now, that was just my side job because I don't know Braille. But what I did for that boy, I decided that I was going to help him to learn how to play ping pong.
That's great.
Because you can hear it before it hits. And, well, the funniest thing about it is I didn't know how to play ping pong. Yeah, so we learned together, and he went on to become the New Jersey State champion ping pong player, but not for the blind, for everyone.
You know, you're reminding me of something that Matthew Sapolin, who was the Bloomberg's commissioner on disabilities, just passed away at the age of 41 a couple months ago, but he was blinded by cancer. He lost both his eyesight at the age of 5, and he went on to become a champion wrestler before he did anything in politics and so forth. And I had the privilege of meeting him and spending time with him, and he was a big supporter of my message and my book and so forth. And you're reminding me of unless someone tells you you can't do something, you know, there's no reason that you shouldn't go for it. And so just telling me that story, I don't know, gives me a sort of an inner tickle. I really appreciate you telling me that.
Oh, you're welcome. But it was just funny. I didn't have the heart to tell him, he's a fourth grader, that I didn't know how to play. But it was really fun because his dream in life, other than ping pong, was to be a safety patrol. Well, how's he going to do that? So I would stand behind the clear glass door, and I would tell him, because he thought I was hiding completely.
Yeah.
And I would tell him, tell Billy to stop running. And he'd say it, Billy, stop running. So it's just a matter of how you help everyone and who you're willing to reach out and love.
I agree with you. And I'll tell you something. I mean, one of the things that I like to share with people, because I think with the best of intentions, a lot of people, when they do see someone who has some type of, you know, not just a difference, but maybe even a disability, you know, whether it's they're blind or whatever the case may be, I really want people to understand that they should just for a second take a breath. Take a breath before you jump to try and help someone, and just see, you know, are they struggling, or are they just looking like they're trying to do what they need to do? And, you know, if someone needs help, they're actually going to ask for it. So I think with all these good intentions, and believe me, I'm not trying to advocate that people stop helping each other, because of course they should. But I will say that I think sometimes if people would just take that breath and observe for a second, they'd realize that a lot of people like to do things independently if they can, and we should allow people to do that. It really does ultimately help, you know, just promote their level of dignity.
Well, Meg, we have enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you.
Your link for all of our listeners here on Artists First to find you, and hopefully you're going to hear from some of them. We hope that you join us again.
First of all, thank you for this wonderful experience, and I appreciate it, and I would love to hear from your listeners, and they're welcome to check out my site and my blog, which is at megzucker.com, and they can comment directly on any of the blog posts as well. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Meg.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, it's great. Thank you so much, and I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
All right. Hugs to your children in the morning.
I sure will.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, a wonderful show about positive attitude tonight, just what we love. We're thanking all of our sponsors tonight, Intimacy Bras and St. Croix Orthopedics and Laura Geller Makeup. And Corey, our producer, you can enjoy his show, The Corey King Show, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Artist First.
We'd like to thank our guests tonight, Katie Halchesik and Meg Zucker. I'm reminding everyone to listen to our archives. Just go to our website, scroll down to the date that you want to listen to. Just click it and listen and enjoy some of our past shows with Davy Jones and who else? Priscilla Presley. We've had Melania Trump. And I'd like to leave you with a quote. Remember, in the cookies of life, your friends are the chocolate chips. Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Good night.